And welcome back to another episode of Mary and Andy Geek Out.
I'm Mary, he's Andy. Oh, and no!
No, oi there, Governor. How's it going today? Chipperoo to you, eh? Eh?
No.
Anyway, we are discussing season 3 of Teen Titans. We are doing episodes 7, 8, and 9, one of which is quite ridiculous out there. So the first one, episode 7, is Revolution, where Mad Mod comes back. He steals Robin's youth. And
Starfire learns the true meaning of America.
Of America, yes. And he turns the whole city into a Britain knockoff, pretty much.
Yes.
Which is always fun.
All right. Episode 8 is Wavelength, in which we see the return of Cyborg's story arc.
Yep.
And Brother Blood is using Cyborg's tech for yet another weapon of mass destruction. And Aqualad's there, as well as Bumblebee!
Bumblebee! Yeah.
With her finally debuting with a voice.
Exactly, yes. And then finally, episode 9, The Beast Within, where Beast Boy goes through puberty? It's not like that. But basically, he turns into a werewolf.
Yes.
And it's pretty cool. It's a pretty crazy episode.
Yes.
Overall, these three episodes, this is like, when I think of Teen Titans, this is kind of this is kind of like a good mixed bag of samples here, you know?
Yeah, it's the Wavelength in particular is building on what it's already created.
Yep. So we got first like a season length storyline here.
Characters returning.
Yep, characters returning. We have a goofy episode, a very silly episode in the form of Mad Mod Revolution.
Yes.
And then we get a very serious episode in terms of Beast Within. So we get this really nice gambit of episodes here.
It's like G-A-M-U-T, right?
Gamut, yes. A gamut of episodes, which I think really kind of shows, like, if you want to show people what Teen Titans is all about, I think these three kind of,
if you had to put three episodes that are together.
Yeah. I guess I might be kind of overstating that. But I think
it's solid.
Yeah, honestly, I was surprised that Revolution was here. I thought that was a season 4 episode. I guess not. I feel like a lot of the more, from what I can recall, the more out there crazy episodes start coming in at season 4. But they really begin to like kind of loosen up in this season, I noticed, which is pretty nice. Which you can tell from the intro, where they did the Japanese intro for Revolution.
They did? Okay, good. Because I couldn't remember it. It was like they had to have, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then they did.
I wonder if there were ever episodes where they had to debate whether it was silly enough or not.
Yeah. What was the one before this one? It was Crash? Yeah, it was Crash. The one with the
the Fantastic Voyage episode.
Yeah, where they go into Cyborg's body. So immediately when you hear that intro, it's like, okay, this is a fun episode, put your worries to the side, and just dive in.
Yes.
So, go for it.
I'll be honest. Okay, so it's 4th of July, Beast Boy explains it very badly. They never actually correct him, because this is not an educational show. But anyway, 4th of July, you don't see that a lot in TV shows.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
We're not usually set in real life America, for one thing, but also, what are you going to do with the 4th of July episode?
Yeah, when you get those holiday episodes, it's either Halloween, Christmas.
Yes. Halloween is for spooky fun, Christmas is for like
family.
Yeah, some sweet little message about found family or where the mean character is nice or something like that.
And then if you get like a Valentine's Day episode, that's more for like lovely doubly, like a
ship teasing,
yeah. Will they, won't they kind of thing.
That's weird. Ed, Edd n Eddy, out of its
they did
three
yeah.
holiday episodes, the Valentine's Day one was the nicest one.
Yeah, that's right. And they had
the kindest one, I should say.
They had little angels in that one.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, it was weird, but it was kinder because like the other two end with them getting beaten up or taken by the Canker Sisters or something.
Mm-hmm.
Standard Ed, Edd n Eddy stuff.
But we're not talking about Edd, Edd n Eddy.
We're talking about 4th of July.
We're talking about 4th of July. We're talking about Teen Titans.
We're talking about Mad Maud.
You know, the funny thing, I think before we really dive into it, the episode is basically Mad Maud just Englandizing.
Anglicizing.
Oh, man, I'm just going to stop saying that. And the whole city to turn it completely, like, he basically uses his hypnotic controls to brainwash the people and uses his technological gimmicks and prowess to
also have soldiers. Can steal youth.
And he can steal youth. It's a really different kind of episode for Mad Maud. Like, in the first time we see him, he has this kind of weird...
Trippy,
I wouldn't say funhouse.
Oh, psychedelic. It had a funhouse feel to it.
Yeah, and it's like a school setting where he's like the old man. He's like, these kids these days.
Now it's Americans these days.
Now it's like, yeah, now it's American.
I'm just imagining, like, Mad Maud starting an international incident over it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm claiming this place in the name of England. And over in England, the queen's like, no, he is not associated with us. We kicked him out for a reason.
We are not associated with the man referring to himself as Mad Maud. But it's very funny. It's just like, it jumps ships, but I love how it's just like, we need a crazy episode. Let's bring this guy back. Have some fun with it.
We open with an establishing shot of the city celebrating Independence Day, and it's, again, one of those rare sightings of random citizens just existing.
And then actually showing fireworks for the 4th of July, too, instead of just for general celebratory use. Yes. Like, they usually do a lot for the carnivals, now that I think about it. Yes.
Festivals. I think you're under that impression because we've been watching Avatar The Last Airbender a lot lately.
Yeah, we have been binging it.
And there's a lot of fireworks in it because that's kind of like a signature creation of like East Asia, which Avatar takes a lot of its cultural influence from.
Yes, it's true, which is interesting because in a certain point of view, the Teen Titans also takes that inspiration.
In a different way,
In a different way, which I never thought about before. They both came out relatively near the same times, too. But for the interest of time, just to make sure that we're on track. So this is something that I notice about this episode, in that when Mad Maud hypnotizes the city, they need to go find him. So they find him underground, and Robin rushes in, like he likes to do a lot. Well, all of them like to do, but rushes in. Mad Maud traps him, separates him from the team. He steals his youth. Robin becomes like a really old man. So old he can't talk. I have issues with this, which we'll probably get to in a moment. But the reason why I want to talk about this is because this is an episode of we're seeing how the other four work
without Robin.
Without Robin, because I think it's easy for people. I think it could be easy, I should say, for the viewer to be like, why do we need Robin exactly? Since
He has no powers.
He has no powers. And, you know, Cyborg seems to have, you know, like, technological prowess as well as Robin. So it's kind of like...
I would argue we need Robin because Starfire really likes him.
That's true. But now we get to see how the Teen Titans get to work together without their leader. And they kind of lament about that. And it's really interesting to see that initially they have some difficulty, but then they're able to kind of pull through.
None of them, other than Beast Boy, really have any issues taking charge. And arguably Starfire, because her plan was to get Robin back.
Yeah. They all had pretty good plans. Except for Beast Boy, because his plan was to have, like, a hamster army.
Yes.
Starfire's was to...
I just said that.
Yep, rescue Robin.
Cyborg wanted to attack the minion robots with the beef eater helmets.
Yep, he just won.
Is it beef eater? I don't want to look that up.
The royal guards, pretty much.
Yes, the royal guard robots. And Raven wanted to find Mad Maud.
Yeah, pretty much. So, all of which are, you know, like, they're not...
I mean, they're very broad plans. They're not actual plans. The writers didn't really spend too much time thinking about it.
No.
I will say, this episode does not really benefit from a second watch. I remembered it being a lot more fun when I was little. Mm-hmm. I think the reason is I was just psyched by all the English culture references.
Mm-hmm.
We get Monty Python. We get Yellow Submarine.
Beatles, but, really. A lot of Beatles stuff.
Well, I would say Yellow Submarine because we have a straight-up blue meanie.
We have a blue meanie. We see a Yellow Submarine.
We'll get to that.
Well, we see him crossing the famed Abbey Road sidewalk.
Yeah. The entire city turns into, like, these sort of washed-out photorealistic buildings instead of, you know, the usual simple animated buildings.
Mm-hmm. And that was seen in the Eleanor Rigby segment
in Yellow Submarine.
Yeah. And then, oh, and then Mad Mod carves into Mount Rushmore to create the Beatles, but in his likeness.
Yes.
So there's a lot of Beatles references.
Yes, because that is mostly what America likes about England.
Mm-hmm. He also gets on about, like, the certain phrases and wording.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's biscuits, not cookies.
Yes.
And so forth.
Yep.
They really like to lean into that kind of, it's just like, look how fun this is. We're all British.
Yes. And just like in Mad Mod's first appearance, Beast Boy is the only one that gets hypnotized, and it briefly gives him a British accent.
Yes. Which, thankfully, they kind of, like, snapped him out of it
after, like, 5 minutes. I suspect the actor didn't care for it.
Yeah, I think the...
Or maybe they realized it wasn't that funny if they kept at it.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, Raven knew this wasn't amusing, even for the short time it lasted, and she basically snapped him out of it.
Also, I found myself kind of upset. Like, not because of bad writing or anything, but it's like, wow, the city is thoroughly broken right now. None of this makes sense, and I think all these people are going to starve to death by how hard they've been brainwashed. Also, how did you change the shops so quickly?
Yeah, no, this is an episode where it's like, don't think about it.
Yes, do not. Well, apparently the writers didn't.
Yeah. Also, this city kind of gets the...
I mean, I'm sure, like, they had a lot of fun planning all the jokes, all the, like, imagery, but the story itself kind of falls apart, because, like we said, the thing...
It's very inconsistent with tone, too, you know?
Yes, because, honestly, Robin getting super aged is very disturbing.
Okay, so let's talk about that, actually, real quick, because Mad Mod is shown to be, like, this really elderly guy. Like, he can still move around and walk, and
he can fight,
and in the end it shows him running away from the Titans, and he's basically switches age or steals his youth from Robin, and Robin's basically shown to be so old that he can barely stand, he can't even talk, and he's kind of like slack jawed throughout most of it.
Yes.
And he just looks like, every time he sees that his friends are in trouble, he looks determined, but he looks sad that he can't do anything. And it's like if they're actually switching ages, shouldn't he at least be as, like, spry as Mad Mod was? But I'm overthinking that, too.
Yes. Especially for somebody who grows up to be Nightwing, you'd expect a very fit old man.
Yeah. And like I said, like, the tone inconsistencies are a bit all over
because,
the place.
Because when they try all their plans, which fail because of narrative contrivance...
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, their plans were just, let's do this, and then they try it, and it doesn't work.
Right.
Because.
And then they have this low moment where, like, they're in the shadows, and they're trying to figure out, like, why are we failing? What can we do about it? And it feels very reminiscent of when they get beaten by Terra, you know? Like,
I was thinking more when they got beaten by the Hive Five.
Okay, yeah, that works too. I mean, it has that kind of gravity, like, oh, this is super serious. And it's Mad Mod. It's like, it's, look at the city. Look at...
Everything's silly.
Everything's silly. This doesn't match the mood I'm getting here. It's weird.
Yeah, anyway, they snap out of it when Starfire, like, teaches them all a lesson by looking at the Declaration of Independence, where it's, not a perfect idea, but a bunch of ideas together, or I didn't write down the actual quote, but
it made no sense.
Yeah, it seemed kind of hollow.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of do what they did before, but different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just basically tried harder.
Yeah.
And they basically succeeded. And,
yay!
And you think Robin's going to, like, pull himself together.
Yeah.
But really, the only thing he does is, after they knock the cane out of Mad Mod's hand, Robin catches it, right when Mad Maude does.
Yeah.
No, I think he just actually catches it straight up. Mad Maude doesn't even have it, and so then he presses the button. Yeah,
they don't need to both be holding it to undo it. So that's weird. So during the scene when they go to confront Mad Maude and win, he's like doing a parade for himself with a blimp with the Union Jack on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, in this episode, the sky is a Union Jack.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
And Cyborg actually points that out.
Yeah.
Which is another reason I'm a little upset about reality.
Yeah, they really kind of...
Yeah, they don't want you to take this episode seriously.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the thing I wanted to talk about, which is when Mad Maude briefly takes the form of a blue meanie from Yellow Submarine. But not as briefly as you would think, because he stays like that for most of the scene when they fight him.
Yeah, it lasts for like a minute, pretty much.
Yeah, because you think, when we saw it, it's like, oh, he's just going to like do that for like a frame, and it'll be a cute little reference for people who are in the know.
Yeah.
But no, he just stays like that, and can you imagine if you had no idea why he was doing that?
Yeah, I know. I think I was when I was a kid, too, you know, like, because I didn't see Yellow Submarine until I was in college.
Yeah.
And so...
Have you seen Monty Python, though? Would you have gotten those references?
I think I might have seen this before Monty Python. I saw Monty Python when I was in junior high. So it might have been around that time. So I probably got the reference, maybe, but I can't recall. I definitely would have not have gotten the reference for Blue Meanie.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because there's another Cartoon Network show.
I wonder what you thought when you saw that. It's a weird show. Weird things happen.
Yeah, weird things happen. You just accept it. A lot of things you, like...
One of Mad Maude's lesser-known powers turning into a blue meanie.
Yeah, you just accept it and go along. But there's, another episode. There's another show on Cartoon Network, the Powerpuff Girls, when they did their Beatles episode, the Beatles. And that one, it's been a while.
That's, one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. I've seen it, 3 or 4 years ago, fairly recent for my adulthood, but I remember how overall relatively great the references were, because after I became a Beatles fan and saw that episode again, I had this huge appreciation for it, and they did a really good job, I thought, putting all these great Beatles references in it and having a good storyline.
The real question is it still funny if you don't get any of the references?
It's very true as well. That's very true. I remember at the time, I still found it pretty funny because of just how weird it was.
Like, Monty Python references, a lot of them are pretty... the ones they used, the foot squishing the Titans.
Yeah.
That one's always funny.
Oh, yeah.
Mad turning into God from Monty Python and the Holy Grail might have confused some people.
Yeah. I feel like...
Oh, maybe he can shapeshift into British pop culture references.
Yeah, and it's not even, clear if this is an illusion or if this is something that he can do now, you know? Because in his madhouse, he can definitely do anything, because it's all holograms.
I guess he turned all of the town to a madhouse?
I guess.
I wonder how long this was. I assume it was all on the 4th of July, but dang, everything changed fast.
It did. We keep saying, it's one of those episodes where it's best not to think about it, because...
More so than most.
Because it's just if you think more about it...
At least when we get to the Mojo episode, we can be magic!
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Powerpuff Girls. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Mumbo Jumbo.
Yes, that's right.
Not
okay.
Mojo Jojo.
Yeah, it's okay.
Mojo Jumbo.
Yeah, Mojo Bojo Jumbo.
Mungo Jerry.
Okay, so I think that kind of wraps up our feelings of that episode overall. Yeah.
I don't even remember what the ending scene was after. Oh, it
they
was
just
them
chase
just
him
chasing.
Away, yeah.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yep.
5 teenage superheroes. Secret identities? None.
Your animal form cannot protect you forever!
Schoolwork? As if.
No!
Angst? Plenty.
Titans! Trouble! Whoa!
Oh, man! We gotta get out of here!
Teen Titans, coming up next. Welcome to the big time.
Isn't that awesome?
Super.
On Toonami.
So, episode 8 is Wavelength, so we finally get back to a Cyborg season episode, and yes. I was like, man, this is taking a while.
Now, it starts with a cold open.
Yes.
where something comes from the water to Titan's tower. And the alarms go off and they all come running down. And Aqualad's torn open their front, like, blast doors. And is like, your garbage is in my ocean. And one, Titan's tower really needs to up its security.
Yeah.
This keeps coming up. People keep getting in there.
Yeah.
But the other is, that was very confrontational of him.
Yeah.
It seems like he's referring to Brother Blood as their garbage, maybe?
Yeah, no, that's what he said. It was like a metaphor, like,
yes.
You
didn't take out the trash!
Yeah, this Brother Blood, your garbage that you fought is now in my oceans. And it's like, you didn't have to open a door.
You didn't have to break the door.
Break the door, I mean.
He could have just called. Did they not give him a communicator when they last saw him?
No, they did. They did. Because,
yeah, I thought they did.
Because there was that rumble from
yes.
the previous season. Because
oh, yeah.
he gives them to Wildebeest and all of them, Sveety, and...
he gave it to them in the fight?
After the fight, when they defeat the...
Oh, dang. Maybe he just doesn't know how to use phones.
Yeah.
Or maybe it broke when he went underwater.
The extreme pressure of the water broke it. So he comes out, and basically the plot of the episode is that Brother Blood has built a tower in the waters that will create a tsunami that will basically destroy the city.
And he built it based on Cyborg's blueprints.
Which Cyborg, understandably, finds that very upsetting.
Yes, breach of privacy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he says, my private blueprints?
Yeah, it's basically implied that he even has his human memories in there, as Bumblebee says, like, this is not what you thought about Jinx and your little crush on her, and
yes.
he looks shocked about that.
Cyborg's embarrassed about her finding about his crush, but she should be the one embarrassed, because she was like, okay, I need to find the weapon stuff, and I need to find out if he actually had a crush on Jinx. I knew it.
Yeah, it feels very, like, you didn't have to look into this, unless it was kind of interwoven with the data, which I would find very implausible.
I mean, he's compromised. This also has sort of parallels with Robin's X technology being used.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Yes. I mean, he didn't use, like, a super dangerous component like Robin did, which is why everybody was upset with Robin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of the same issue. Mm-hmm. It's like, I created this, I gotta stop it.
Yeah. On a similar note, actually, there's a quote when Aqualad's telling them, like, oh, it's Brother Blood, you know about him, and Cyborg goes, yeah, we go way back. And I'm like, what?
I think he was being sarcastic.
I guess.
Like, yeah, we had a tea party.
It was just like, we've only seen you in one episode with him, and that was earlier this season, so...
I mean, time has no meaning.
Yeah.
And all we know is that summer happened at some point between those two episodes.
For all we know...
July happened at some point.
For all we know, season one, like, that first episode
could be
happened,
a whole year.
Happened in, like, back in season two or season one. That'd
yes.
be interesting.
That'd be annoying. Also, finally get those goddamn bee uniforms at the Hive.
Oh, yeah,
place.
That came back
yeah.
for you. That was funny.
Yes, the guards actually are dressed as bees.
And it really came into play there.
I mean, they didn't capitalize any more on the Hive theme. And also, like, Cyborg's tech is blue, so the Hive is blue on the outside. Oh, also Cyborg Squid.
Yes, no, they say, release the mind control squid.
Which is hilarious.
They say that perfectly straight, and the squid comes out. It looks totally similar to Beast Boy when he was a squid, which is a nice touch. The only exception being... Yeah, character model. The only exception is this squid is gray, and it has cyborg parts on it, so it's a
yes.
cyborg squid.
I'd really want to see the episode where Brother Blood has people capture a squid so he can turn it into a cyborg.
By the way, you're going to find me crazy on this, but Beast Boy was kind of the MVP for this episode.
Oh, yeah. For once, he wasn't, like, constantly comedic.
Yeah.
Like, he was not who they went back to deliver a little lightheartedness.
Yeah.
Like, he's immediately, like, on board working alongside Aqualad, because we've already, you know, gone through that character arc.
Mm-hmm.
He saves them all when their Titan submarine explodes.
Yeah, the submarine gets destroyed by the squid, and he turns into a sperm whale, and he has to simultaneously escape the squid.
And keep them in his mouth where there's air for some reason.
Yeah, and try to escape them. And he does this twice. He does it at the beginning of the episode and the end of the episode.
Yes.
And so that Raven basically is just like, oh my god.
So we got...
Please tell me I'm not where we think we are. And then, like, she gets out and she has to squeeze the saliva out of her boots.
And Beast Boy turns back and then spits out her
boot. Yeah, that's right. He spits out the boot. That's right.
As I saw a human.
And she's like, oh my god, this is horrible. And it's great because then it pays off at the end of the episode when they're like, we gotta escape the headquarters. Because, of course, it's blowing up and water's coming in and... Beast Boy points to his tongue and he goes, hello.
Everybody get in.
Everybody get in. And Raven's like, no, I think I'm going to drown here. And she literally just stands there.
Yes, she would have stayed there and drowned if Starfire had not pulled her along.
Yeah, which is a great touch and very hilarious.
So this episode has our standard Death Star mission where you have one team dealing with one thing and the other team dealing with something else. I believe the plan was for most of the team to go after Blood. And Cyborg to turn off the machine itself.
Yeah, because he has the blueprints.
Yes.
He got very...
Yeah, he wanted to take on Blood. He got a little Robin here.
Yeah.
He was like, this is my villain. Mm-hmm. He literally said it was my villain.
Pretty much, yeah. No, like, he's like, you got Slade, this is my villain. And Robin's like, uh-uh, not happening. You gotta do this. Which kind of sets it up for Titans East at the end of the season.
Yes. Cyborg meets up with Bumblebee. He does not know that she's the spy at this point, so they fight while Brother Blood's watching from this big screen TV in the loading bay.
Yeah.
That's, you know, two-way, like you do in cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You can see through screens.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bumblebee kind of kicks his ass and then destroys the TV.
Yeah.
And... thoroughly humiliates him, and he does not want to work with her.
Yeah.
Partly because it's personal, partly because he's proud.
Yeah, he couldn't believe the fact that he was being beaten up, and I think it probably, like, stings the fact that, because she can, like, shrink herself. And
yeah.
We get a lot of close-up shots of Cyborg's face as he gets, like, he's, like of him squinting and looking where Bumblebee is, and then her coming up and punch him in the face. Like, yeah. There's a lot of detail, like, animation here.
Yeah, I'd get really embarrassed to be beaten by a tiny person.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to put misogyny in this. It's like, she turned into a bee.
Yeah. That's all there is to it, yeah. And he also couldn't believe the fact that there was another double agent that he didn't know about.
Yeah.
And he finds it hard to
believe. Stayed undercover longer than he did.
Yeah.
He blew it real quick.
Yeah, he pretty much did. Brother Blood had no idea whatsoever.
He introduces her as she's almost as good as you, except she's not a spy.
Yeah, and then she is a spy. He's like,
tell me, was anyone at my school actually there to learn?
Yeah,
or
which
something
is
like that.
So great.
Yeah. He's still a boring character, but it feels like John DiMaggio is really trying.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
Think like when Cyborg and Brother Blood had their first fight together, and it was fine. I don't know. Like, I just didn't feel the emotional weight behind it.
Yeah.
Compared to Slade.
Yeah. Well,
it was a good fight.
I mean,
fight
Ron
overall.
Perlman though.
Yeah, I know.
Ron Perlman adds weight to whatever he's voicing.
I know, I just felt really bad. I was like, I wish I could, like, bring myself to care more about this
arc. I mean, again, it's mostly just his relation with Cyborg that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Especially when it finally pays off by the season end.
Yes. Which, real quickly, I'm probably going to talk a little bit more in our next podcast episode, because then we'll see the end of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to keep in mind throughout the rest of our show about how many season arc episodes there are.
Mm-hmm.
Because by my count, there's only 4 for Cyborg for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terra for the last season got, I think, 5. So I kind of like, out of 13, and this one's out of 13 as well.
Interesting.
And so I kind of want to count to see like how many, because I'm surprised that there's only like 4 episodes for Cyborg for this season. Like, it feels like there should be more. But yeah. Instead, we get like a beginning, a season finale, a middle, and that's it. But yeah. I'll get off my, I don't know. It was just something that I noticed.
Yes. Big difference between that and modern shows that would have story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do get Cyborg's one-on-one battle with Brother Blood, because, of course, it's his villain.
Right.
Like, the narrative knows that, even if the rest of the team's trying to keep him away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Blood changes his costume.
Yep.
And he does energy blasts.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he do energy blasts?
Because he made a blueprint. He made it.
Wait, did he have?
He designed tech? It off of. Yeah, he designed his tech off of Cyborg's tech.
Oh, only yeah. It's red.
Yeah, and then he like. There's a scene where he like punches a hole with his fingers into Cyborg's chest.
Yes.
Because he knows all his weaknesses.
Yeah, that's.
Which looks like hurts a
it's
lot.
It's funny. This villain should be like equally intimate the way Slade was.
Yeah.
But he's just not.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Like, he literally knows Cyborg inside and out in this episode, and it's still nowhere near that connection.
Wow, I never thought of it before, intimate, yeah, because he should have that intimacy. I mean, and it's shown that, but it's like, I'm not getting that, you
yes.
know? Like, I wish, like, it's not at that level that Robin and Slade.
Yes.
Like, it's interesting.
Yes, they just don't have what they had.
Yeah.
I got a lot of little notes.
Rapid fire. Do it.
When Bumblebee and Cyborg are fighting over which way to go, she's doing it from memory and he's doing it from his computer because he's, like, tracking. Anyway, his wrist thing that he was looking at literally says this way on it. And I just think that was funny.
Nice.
I didn't have much to say on the side with the rest of the Titans. Mm-hmm. Like, they fall into a trap. Mm-hmm. Brother Blood said surfs up to them, which is hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, their side missions were kind of like, ooh, they fell into a trap, and now they're in trouble. Which is
yeah,
another
Beast
reason why.
Beast Boy and Aqualad were doing something even less memorable, but they were trying to, like, overload it.
They were trying to, yeah, overload the core. Or, like, the shield. There was a shield generator. Yeah. And when they were able to, like, get
oh,
free.
they got the Star Wars crushing
the
trap.
Smushing walls, yeah.
Yes.
Which is another reason why Beast Boy was like MVP, because as soon as they got out, Beast Boy's like, I'm in, and he turns himself into an electric eel and he basically throws himself into the electric core, overloads it, and then Cyborg's able to get into the core and basically shut the whole thing down, which is hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, and speaking of which, before I forget, there's a cool glitch effect, because every time, like, the machine was turning on or being used, like, Cyborg would look like he was glitching, like, had, like, a weird static effect on him. It was a really cool effect that I liked.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I was really nice. Definitely check out that scene again when you get a chance.
Also, Bumblebee's explanation for not being mind-controlled.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I think we both kind of call bullshit on, but mm-hmm. who the hell knows what's going on, which is, there's not a man alive who can control me. Although it does actually, it actually tracks with how this arc ends.
Really?
Yeah, I'll hopefully get back to it when we get there.
Okay. It could also be that
she's consistent.
It could also be that she's not as, since she didn't buy into him. From the get-go, that she didn't willingly put herself as a, you know, as a servant to him, as compared to all the other students who were like, yeah, I want to be an evil villain, I want to be a great student, and so they really kind of lean into that mind control thing. I think they
Because they're
they want to.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that might be
how hypnosis is supposed to work.
Yeah. It's weird also that we didn't see any students this episode.
Well, it wasn't the school.
I guess. Not even
Which reminds me, and I wrote it down, when Cyborg more or less wins, Brother Blood's like, that's 2 headquarters you owe me.
I know, it's really funny.
Which I'm like, oh, he's tied with Robin then.
Yeah. He might get 3. I don't recall.
Well, Tara took... Okay. So,
for Cyborg, I mean. I can't remember how this season ends.
Actually, now I'm trying to think what counted as a headquarters for Slade. Because they definitely destroyed one.
Mm-hmm.
Terra destroyed another.
Mm-hmm.
There is another place that might have been a headquarters.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Robin's head, as seen in the last episode. I don't know. That'd be pretty funny, though.
Taking up residence.
Yep.
Living rent-free.
I know. Again, showing how like great their chemistry was, that even when Slade is dead, Robin still carries the torch along.
Yes. So, did you want to say anything before I get to the end of the episode?
Nope.
Okay.
Go for it.
So, once they've won, Aqualad and Bumblebee are going to keep tracking down Brother Blood while the rest of the Teen Titans deal with, you know, the standard city issues, which are constantly happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they invite Cyborg along, and he's like, no, my mission's here, which wasn't really his story arc, but I feel like the idea of that was this is why Cyborg's different from Robin. He's not going to obsessively pursue this one thing.
Ah, interesting. They did show a bit of hesitancy in there because it shows that he wants to be independent and wants to be his own kind of leader there. I think we'll touch...
You think? Well, we know he goes on to make Titans East because of this.
Mm-hmm. So I think we'll touch on that a little bit later when that happens.
Yes.
Friend, my most favorite program of the television, World of Fungus, is about to begin. Might we please watch?
No.
But you are merely flipping.
I said no! Now be a good girl and get me another root beer.
Okay, and finally, episode 9, The Beast Within. This is the
Beast Boy episode. Beast Boy gets an upgrade.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about, you know, if episode 6 Spellbound kind of began to tease that Beast Boy Raven ship, this episode kind of launched it for a lot of people. Launched that ship into the shipping seas for them. Me included in that one. Because, you know, after Terra is gone...
He needs a rebound.
And
apparently so does Raven after her boyfriend turned out to be an evil dragon.
And so this kind of, when I was rewatching this episode, I was really kind of like watching for those kinds of...
Shippable moments.
I know I'm jumping the gun way ahead because it basically only happens at the end of the episode, which I guess we'll get to.
You know what's interesting? None of that in Raven's story arc.
What do you mean? The shipping?
There is nothing about her getting close to Beast Boy. If anything, it's Robin.
It's Robin, yeah. No,
I think, why a lot of people shipped Raven and Robin.
Oh, yeah, no, they did. And I was like, no, you're wrong. I was like, first off, Robin, Starfire. Second off, and so I was just like, I was firmly in the no category. If they were like... It reminds me of the debate between Katara and Zuko and Katara and Aang, and like leading up to the final, everyone was like debate, like really kind of ship wars on that. But that's my ship war right there, back in the day. But before we get to that, I kind of jumped the gun there. Sorry. We have a really generic opening, kind of, because we are fighting
the villain's just a dude.
It's a dude. Yeah, his name is Adonis. He's just a scrawny...
He keeps talking about his muscles and flexing them, but they're like robot muscles because he's in a power suit.
Yeah, he's just a thin guy.
And then he does like do a peck dance with his robot muscles, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and there it was weird because it's not explained why he's even there to begin with. There's like animals, and of course there's...
Yeah, they're in an obviously like test lab.
Yeah, because there's barrels full of... chemical substance or whatever.
I mean, the sewers are full of chemical substance. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
And so they have this fight.
Yeah, and everybody keeps getting taken down. He does that thing a lot of creepy villains do where, like, he pins down Raven and she's like, get off me! And he's like, you're feisty! And she just sort of shadows away.
Yeah.
And hits him with something, so that's nice.
Yeah, which is very satisfying.
But anyway, Beast Boy ultimately, like, goes beast mode and takes him down. And...
yeah, he really gets serious. I think it's like... the episode implies that... or it shows that Beast Boy was basically sick and tired of being picked around.
Yeah, I'd say had an inferiority complex.
Yeah, and I think, like, even before he got hit by those chemicals,
yeah, he was getting into that. But they do congratulate him on his uncharacteristic takedown.
Yeah, pretty much, which kind of goes to show that if Beast Boy was, like... if he, like...
Focused.
And yeah, exactly. Focused, was serious, and just really just went at it. He could do, like, he could really step up his A game, like, because the other four couldn't even touch this guy, robotic guy, and here he comes in animal form and just destroys him.
I was thinking in my head, and I have this faint memory, and I don't know what show it belongs to, but the idea of you have somebody with your exact power, but they use it, like... in a completely unfun, very, what's that word?
Dry.
That when something, like, makes the most of as little as possible.
Okay. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
That, like, just, like, very to-the-point use of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, yeah, and, like, ultimately they defeat him with fun and creativity. And that might have happened in more than one thing, but, like, I'm thinking, like, Green Lantern fighting with, like, these cool, like, constructs of animals and weapons against another Green Lantern who just does, like, very basic shapes to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that actually happened, but it feels like something I've seen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the idea of if Beast Boy focused, he'd just do the exact right animal for each situation.
Ah, yeah. Because he really went back and forth between a few dinosaurs, like a bull... I think he clawed open his chest plate with, like, a lion. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, he was a Sasquatch again at some point.
He was a Sasquatch, which is so funny that Sasquatch apparently exists in this universe.
Hey, do you think Santa's reindeer is its own species, or it's an enchanted species?
Probably an enchanted species. Reindeer. That'd be really funny.
That'd be so I could turn into a flying reindeer.
Yeah, look at me go. That'd be hilarious. I can totally imagine that. So, he and Adonis gets hit by these chemicals.
And immediately, Beast Boy starts getting a little more aggro.
Yeah, like, the chemicals are never explained what exactly they were, except for the fact that they're messing with his unstable DNA.
Yes.
And, yeah, he becomes aggro. Like, he eats ham and eggs for
breakfast.
He's rude
to everybody. He eats meat. He's just a dick.
Yeah.
Just a constant dick.
Mm-hmm.
And almost throws down with Raven.
Yeah, and Robin. Because Robin's like, I don't like your attitude, and you should just take that attitude and just go somewhere else with it.
Yes. Also, Starfire says he's being a royal Zargnarf.
Oh, yeah. I love it when Starfire brings in
her
alien
words.
Oh, also,
Beast Boy says, Beast Boy says he's tired of being a nice guy. I'm just like, I don't think you were that nice.
Yeah, he is the quote-unquote nice guy, so to speak.
Nice guy TM.
Yeah.
Starfire wanted to watch her favorite show, World of Fungus, and I really wanted to watch it with her.
Yes. She would have liked that movie that came out probably half a year ago. Amazing World. I think it's called Amazing World of Fungi.
The IMAX?
Yeah, I can't remember. But,
I heard it focused too much on the psychedelics, though.
Yes. Maybe Starfire would have liked it, though. There's a part where Cyborg and Beast Boy are, like, playing a video game, and Beast Boy gets pissed because he loses, and then he basically scratches Cyborg so hard it leaves scratch marks on
his metal,
and he looks super chill at this. He's like, all right, what's your problem, man? And
it just seems funny to exemplify their relationship.
It's
like
so
Cyborg
funny.
Cyborg puts up with a lot from Beast Boy.
Yeah, because in the last episode of this podcast, we talked about how Beast Boy basically infiltrated Cyborg's room to play that video game. And Beast Boy's like, what are you doing here, Cyborg? And he's like, it's my room. What are you doing here? And same thing here. It's like the same mentality. Like, Beast Boy straight up, like, scratches into his armor, but he doesn't even bat an eye, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Like, it's not... like this is normal.
Dude, no fair, you can't do that.
I can, I did, and baby, that's why I'm gonna win.
That's what you think!
Yo, man, chill. It's just a stupid game.
So, Beast Boy goes to sleep and becomes a werewolf, and Raven disappears. There's a scream, and Raven disappears, and it's obviously set up so that we think Beast Boy, Werewolf Beast Boy did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out, no, Adonis did it. He broke into the frickin' tower! He didn't even, like, pull open the doors.
He just went through the windows, yeah.
That's security. Cyborg, update it.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. Yeah, the Teen Titans Tower has kind of got broken into a lot ever since Terra kind of messed with their system.
Okay, we'll go with that as the explanation.
I really like that explanation, yeah.
Cyborg has it. He was like, I thought I fixed it! And goes back to programming.
You fix one thing,
and then something else goes wrong.
There's bug. And it's just, like, drives him off the wall. We're going to, like, we'll have to, like, do, like, a tally mark every time someone comes into the towers and see.
Yeah.
If for once the tower actually has a good defense system.
I just know it goes full badass in the Raven season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Wow, I don't remember anything from that.
Anyway, and we get another use of the medical room and the Titans Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And one part that cracked me up is when they go off to chase Beast Boy down, and we should probably backtrack to that.
Yeah.
But they go off to chase Beast Boy down, so Starfire's left to watch over an unconscious Raven. And Starfire at one point is holding a clipboard, and I'm just like, what's she even doing with that?
Yeah. It's so funny, because...
I guess she just needs something to do in there.
I guess. And she's not like she... I mean, I guess she could learn about human biology,
like, medical clipboards exist so, you know, one nurse can get, like, the previous nurse's information. Like,
yeah.
There is no reason for that to be in the Titan's Tower
that
when the
so
only
funny.
Staff is the Titans.
And she's just reading Cyborg's notes, and she's like, I don't understand anything. But I see this on television a lot.
Yes. Anyway, so let's get back to... So they think Beast Boy kidnapped Raven.
Mm-hmm.
And Raven's passed out. She has gone into a meditative state where she's unconscious and floaty and healing herself.
Yeah.
And Beast Boy... Robin starts interrogating Beast Boy.
Yeah, he really starts pushing his buttons and, like, you gotta remember. And Beast Boy's like I can't remember.
If you can't tell me anything, I have to arrest you. Which, again, does... That... How does the legal system work in this town?
I think he said he has to turn him into the authorities.
No, I think he said I'll have to arrest you.
Yeah, he really just starts... Robin has definitely went the wrong direction here. Because he just really starts turning up the stress meter.
He was doing it so much, I thought he was like trying to trigger the transformation on purpose.
Right.
Like, because there's a part where Beast Boy obviously starts... transforming, and Robin, like, gestures for everyone to hold back, and I'm like, so this is part of his plan.
Yeah.
It was not.
Yeah, because Robin was like, oh, crap.
Robin should have apologized for that one.
I know, Robin, it bothered me. I was just like, what the heck, Robin? Just cool off a little bit. And so basically...
Well, he thought one of his own teammates had hurt one of his other teammates.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah. It's a very stressful situation for everyone involved.
It's a very stressful situation, you're right.
Anyway, want to talk about what Werewolf Beast Boy looks like?
Yeah, he has this...
He's ugly.
It's not very appealing design. He has looks like a... What is it, a mane? But kind of looks
like
a mullet?
He's like sort of a monkey tiger wolf.
Yeah. It just doesn't look very...
Yeah, it's distressingly humanoid, but like with a hunchback and this... big flowy mane that's coming out like just the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And
but apparently this thing is so OP that it can like totally hold its own against the four other Titans. Like,
I mean, all new enemies do that.
I guess that's fair. Yeah, it's very fair.
Cyborg could hold his own against all the Titans.
Yeah okay, you know what, that's a fair point.
Also at one point it was just Cyborg and Robin.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, which leads to a sort of sweet moment where Cyborg's like, I know you're in there, Beast Boy, and it works, and then Robin comes in and ruins it all.
Robin messes everything up all over again. Good work, Robin.
I love, actually, the show's been very good about this. Anytime that the Teen Titans rush in without the facts, it's because they genuinely look, it genuinely looks like they're in danger.
Right.
Like, the show's been very good about that. It's not like, give us a moment to talk about it. Like, there isn't a moment. Like, right. Something's attacking them, and they're like, ah! And fight back.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what it looks like to them. But, like, yeah, there's... Like, it's not something they want to take chances with.
That's very true.
But in that case, Robin screwed up. Coming in on his little Robin cycle.
And a little Robin cycle. So then in the end of the episode, they're like, oh, this is ridiculous. Now there's two of them because it's Adonis and...
I'm making a face at him, sorry.
And there's Adonis as the wolf creature,
yes,
as well as Beast Boy fighting each other. And it's like, at first you can't tell the difference, and that's the point because, you know, it's shadows and made it look like that Beast Boy as the wolf creature attacked Raven when it was actually Adonis. And Adonis is this weird yellowish fur. Doesn't look good on it at all.
I thought he was brown.
I guess. I don't know. Again, the lighting.
They're in the sewers.
The lighting's weird. And so they basically have, like, this beast brawl, pretty much, and just start fighting the crap out of each other.
Yeah. And Beast Boy wins.
Yeah. He does, like, a Sonic the Hedgehog move,
also,
pretty much.
Also, this is the first time Beast Boy's transformed and it ruined his clothes. Which is very confusing now, considering all the times he transforms and his clothes disappear or don't rip.
Yeah. That's true.
I guess it was, like, the wrong kind of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how that suit's supposed to work. One thing I thought is maybe, like, it was pre-programmed with all the animals, but then, like, the alien one would have ripped it. The alien transformation would have ripped it. Maybe
I guess
it's just
a conscious effort. Like, he knows to consciously, like...
So it's based on, like, his brainwaves?
I guess.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're just pulling stuff out of our ass here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure somebody somewhere came up with the explanation, maybe even a canon one.
Yeah. The episode ends with Cyborg giving him, like, a shot of some kind to, like, stabilize him.
And
he feels really bad about it.
Yeah, it's actually really great, because, like, for a while you are worried that he was becoming a bit of a jerk because of the way he was talking, but no, he was really not himself, because he is disgusted for eating meat.
Yeah.
Disgusted with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And which, this leads us to a very sweet Robin and, sorry, Raven.
Yeah.
Wrong bird.
No.
Raven and Beast Boy.
So yeah, Raven and Beast Boy, which they basically have a moment. Raven basically thanks Beast Boy and saying that wasn't you, but she was really happy. Because Beast Boy was worried that the Beast would come back one day, and Raven's like, good, we'll need him.
But also, I think the unspoken thing is, like, she's always fighting something inside herself. And, like, the idea that Beast Boy has something that he's worried about coming out of himself makes him more like her.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I like that.
I thought that was the intentional subtext of the scene.
I think you're right. Yeah, I totally forgot. Yeah, now that you mention it, it does make a lot of sense in my head. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a bond, which of course Beast Boy ruins.
Maybe you should call me Beast Man.
Man, and she's like, we're having a moment, don't ruin it. And then he says, Beast Dude?
I like Beast Dude.
I know, right? Well, he's got to change his name one of these days once he hits 20 or so. And then from there, I mean, that's when I started, like, shipping the two together and try to find all those moments when I can. Like, see? They like each other. They deserve to be together.
Remember when he won a duck for her at the festival? Or was it a chicken?
It was a chicken. A giant chicken. And she's like,
I don't even remember what episode that was.
That was the first episode. I think that was the first episode. No, it was the second episode with Blackfire.
Was it?
Yeah. Huh. But then she goes like, a giant chicken. I'm the luckiest girl in the whole world. Oh my god. She's so on top of it this season. It's great. Like, her delivery.
Oh, so that wraps it up for this week?
Yes. So I think, three episodes, and now that we discussed them, to me I feel like there's like a I feel like every time we discuss them, like, it's like, I come into it, like, thinking, like, yeah, these are great. And then I come away from it, like, they're good, but they have some issues, but I still enjoyed them.
I think I like this better than last week's batch.
Oh, really? Yeah, I can
let
see
me,
that.
Let me just flip back. Yeah, Spellbound, Haunted, and, yeah, definitely like these ones better.
Yeah. Really? Haunted with the Slade Mask?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not, I don't judge.
Robin's kind of boring.
That's fair. So I think the weakest episode, because Revolution has its tonal faults,
uh-huh.
I guess I'm torn between either that or Wavelength, because it's Wavelength is kind of like a in-between episode, if you will. It's a, we gotta get this season plot moving yes. from one side to the other, and it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't feel too, I didn't remember anything about this episode going into it, and
Wavelength?
The Wavelength, and I still didn't quite remember.
I mean, I remembered Bumblebee.
Yeah, Bumblebee. Bumblebee definitely carried it.
That gives it points, yeah.
So I think, I'll put it as, like, the least, not because it's bad, but because it just didn't have too many memorable moments, unlike the other two episodes.
Okay. I'm going to say my least was Revolution, mm-hmm. for the reasons I stated before, which is, I thought it was fun, but it was more because it was exciting to see the references, and when you see it a second time, it's like, oh, it doesn't have much else going for it, does it?
Yeah.
He doesn't even sing.
Yeah, he should. They did make a lot. The Beast Boy did make a joke like, you're just jealous because I sound like a rock star, or something like that. And nobody sings, which is too bad. Favorite episode, Beast Within. I mean, it's a very nice kind of, it's good to get a good serious Beast Boy episode like this, and actually
where he actually feels bad for his bad actions.
And
I mean, he did before, but this more so than usual.
It feels nice to have this kind of episode.
There's a little more cathartic at the end than a lot of Beast Boy episodes have been.
Yeah. This isn't, like, because the other episodes was him kind of being annoying and him trying to fix his annoyance or screw-ups, and here it's just like, this is him trying to make amends, and he gets, like, these chemicals mess him up, and it's him trying to redeem himself. It's a really good arc that you don't really see in a Beast Boy episode.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see that kind of that triumph,
if
I
you
guess.
Recall, when the Doom Patrol does show up, he does get super serious, so it's kind of a step towards that.
Yes, making its way to it.
I feel like he was just kind of pissed off at the Doom Patrol for coming back into his life in that one.
I'm looking forward to the Doom Patrol.
I don't remember those episodes being that interesting.
I know, I don't really either. I just remember the feeling I got watching them, like, oh, this is pretty different.
It's new characters. Yay.
But what was your favorite of the three?
I don't know. Beast Within, like I said, the like last scene with Raven and Beast Boy is really what heightened it for me. Otherwise, it'd be just kind of boring.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if I cared more about Beast Boy this viewing around, that might have been more interesting, because it's always fun to see your favorite characters tormented a little.
Yeah.
I might just go with Wavelength, because I really like some Cyborg development, because he's a great character, and I'm appreciating him more this time around.
Yes. I can respect that, yeah. We haven't really hit bad episodes this season so far. Nothing that really stood out against us. Season 2, we really trashed every dog had its day with the
yes.
alien dog and whatnot.
We'll keep
just,
trashing it.
Because it's just not a fun episode to watch. It's
no.
just so
upsetting.
Upsetting, right. And then this, there, yeah. And so I think when we talk about these, it's like they're pretty close. So I'm really looking forward to what we're going to pick as our overall favorite of the 13 episodes for our next podcast episode. Because this actually segues great, because next podcast episode, we're going to be covering the last four episodes of season 3.
Because it's another two-parter finale.
Another two-parter finale. We have episode 10, we have episode 11, 12, and 13. Okay. I can't remember which one's the mm-hmm. order, but one of them is Raven as a Rabbit.
Yeah.
So the Mumbo Jumbo episode.
Or How to Make a Titan Disappear.
Yes. And then the other one
which
was,
does have a song.
Oh, it does. I don't remember that.
Master of Your Fate?
I'm looking forward to that. And the other one is, I think it's called Can I Keep Them?
Oh, yeah, we finally get a payoff to frickin' background.
Silky, yeah, it's going to be great. And so this is going to be a crazy, like, last four episodes, because we're going to get two really ridiculous ones, and then two, like, season-ending episodes, so.
Which are usually serious.
Yeah, so this is going to be a lot of fun. What?
Are we introducing Massimenos?
Yeah. This is definitely the episodes where they come out.
I love that they don't get subtitles.
I know, right?
Until Control Freak shows up.
So this is definitely, if you want to,
Speaking of Control Freak, just because I was wrong last episode, he did originate in the animated series.
Nice.
Yes.
As opposed, and then
he did not come from the comics.
Yeah, I definitely believe that.
He is very much an animated medium kind of character.
That's another thing. After we're done doing the whole Teen Titans retrospect, I want to do like a bonus episode to talk about like our favorite villains from the five seasons and a movie. See how that goes. But anyway, and thank you again just for listening to us. It's always appreciative. And just if you know any Teen Titan fans or just people who like to listen to
a couple of nerds talk about nothing and inform you of nothing other than their opinions.
Yeah, then just send them, send us their way. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great night. Stay safe out there as usual, and see you next time.
Bye.